Hi, this is Conrad Marshall from Good Weekend Talks, a new podcast by the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age. On Good Friday, you can take in our cover story on kindness in the age of coronavirus. Then on Easter Sunday, we revisit Jacqueline Mailey's fascinating story from April 2019 about the Pentecostal church that counts Prime Minister Scott Morrison as a member. So after this episode of Please Explain, go and search Good Weekend Talks wherever you get your podcasts.
From the newsrooms of the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age, this is Please Explain. I'm Tori Maguire and it is Thursday, April 9. For the duration of the COVID-19 crisis, Please Explain is coming to you 5 days a week. As of this afternoon, Australia has recorded 6,089 cases of coronavirus and 51 people have died. I'm joined now by our senior economics correspondent, Shane Wright. Shane Wright, welcome back to Please Explain. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, Tori.
I basically have one question for you today that I'm going to ask you over and over in different ways. The federal government has announced $196 billion in different measures that they're calling, you know, coronavirus rescue measures. How are we going to pay for this, Shane?
I'm glad you asked that, Tori, because this is debt that's going to take a little while to be before anyone starts getting around to sort of paying it back. There are three ways, ultimately, to pay back debt. One is hope that the economy grows really, really fast and you get a bit of inflation. Now, that's how the debts that Australia ran up after World War II paid down its debt. The $196 billion that the government is spending so far, that takes total debt to somewhere between $800 and $850 billion. That's roughly around 40-45% of GDP. During World War II, it got to 120% of GDP, so there was a lot more debt. But at the end of the war, all the troops came home, there was a baby boom, the Chifley government decided to open the nation's borders, we had an immigration boom, we had a fair bit of inflation. Some of it was due to an increase in the price of wool, for instance. That helped draw down the amount of debt that we had really quickly, rather rapidly, really. But we go into this in a very different situation. Economic growth is much, much lower. Inflation is barely registering and it hasn't been inside the Reserve Bank's target band for 4 years. So that sort of avenue of extremely fast growth coupled with a lot of inflation, seems closed off. So that gets back to the two other ways to pay for all this. Reduce your spending or increase your taxes or you do a bit of both. That's ultimately how a lot of this debt's going to be paid.
And do we have any idea what sort of taxes the government would be considering to be on the table when it comes time for this crisis is over and now we have to pay for it?
The most we've heard so far, because there have been a couple of questions. One is the government's not considering GST changes. Now, that's always a bit of a different one because the GST, if you increase the GST, that money would then go straight back to the states. So it doesn't actually help the federal budget's bottom line. Now, we do have a little bit of history. If you go back to 2014, Joe Hockey introduced a budget repair levy on people earning more than $180,000. Now, I'm copywriting the term the Corona budget repair levy right now because that is one way you could get higher income earners to contribute some amount towards this. But the amount of debt that we're talking about is so much larger than when Joe Hockey and Tony Abbott came to office. The story of the last 6 years is that actual government debt has more than doubled. So we still haven't actually got back to a budget surplus. But there are so many other areas in terms of taxation that you might have to think about.
What about franking credits?
Yeah, I was the one who put that question direct to Scott Morrison and he said no. Now, that's the position right now. Whether you can hold that position of handing out franking credits for like $6 to $8 billion a year for the next 10 years while you're asking other people to contribute in different ways to pay down debt, I'm not sure that's tenable. Another space, which was a debating point in the election campaign, was negative gearing. We know that there are going to be a lot of landlords out there who are going to have very big losses this year. Now, that cost will actually flow back to you, me, and everyone else listening to this podcast.
Does the fact that interest rates are so low at the moment mean that the government is free to spend more?
Depends how much more you want to spend, Tori. But
not me personally, Shane. It's the Prime Minister who's throwing all this money around.
That's right. So interest rates are extraordinarily low. So the actual interest bill on the extra borrowings that the government is doing, it's cheaper than chips. So like this week, for instance, the government's debt agency sold about $2 billion of debt that won't be repaid until 2031. The interest rate on that was 0.9%. Now, imagine if your mortgage and Tory Maguire had a $2 billion mortgage. I'm not sure what you're
well,
building.
You haven't seen my house, Shane.
Well, that's right. But think of that. If you were only paying 0.9% for the next 11 years. It's extraordinarily low. So the government had, before this all started, it had about $570 billion of debt. That will be rolled over time. So the interest rates on that debt will actually come down. You can see, even though you got a really big lift in the quantum of debt, the interest bill will actually only go up slightly. Now, the question is whether that's going to hang around for a long time. Now, if the global economy somehow stages some great miracle, then interest rates will go up, then the interest bill will go up. And that sort of forces you to actually find ways to pay down debt faster if you don't want a big interest bill.
How does the government debt agency work? Where do they get the money from?
Well, I'm glad you asked. So the Australian Office of Financial Management, they get instructions from Josh Frydenberg, who says, right, we need X number of dollars to keep paying for what we're doing. So the AOFM offers, it's like a reverse auction. It says to market participants, and they are really big investors, superannuation funds, other central banks who have a lot of money to throw around. They say, right, we're going to sell $2 billion of debt that will go out till 2031, for instance. That goes out into the bond marketplace. And so people who want to buy that debt make a bid. The more bids there are, that depresses the interest rate that will ultimately be paid on that debt. So the more bids come in, interest rates go down, and then the AOFM decides who it's going to sell this debt to. I think there was about 50 bidders for the $2 billion that was sold this week for 2031, and about at least 12 bidders got some of that debt or all of that debt. That's how it works in practice. So, and every year they will get the interest on that debt. So 0.9, they'll get paid 0.9% of how much they bought until ultimately you get to 2031, people holding the bonds are still there and they will get paid their capital back plus the remaining interest.
So how important is it that we maintain our credit rating in this circumstance?
Well, the credit rating at the moment, given interest rates are so low and there's only 10 or 11 countries like Australia with a AAA credit rating, it's not hugely important. You go back 10 years or 15 years, if you lost a credit rating, then that would demonstrably push up the interest bill on your outstanding debt or any new debt. At the moment, the world is awash and with debt, and Australia is seen as pretty secure. The most important aspect of, say, what Standard & Poor's did this week in terms of putting Australia on negative outlook is that it's looked at the books, it's looked at the economy and said, it's not going as well as the government would have you believe. It's saying like we've got some concerns, especially about the high level of personal debt in this country and how heavily dependent we are on bricks and mortar for our wealth.
So given we're not the only country spending money by the bucket load per second, is there enough to go around?
We've seen since the global financial crisis that there's almost an insatiable demand for debt. I think the latest figures came out this week. The amount of debt in the globe is more than three times annual world GDP. So there's a lot of debt out there. In fact, you go through, and the World War One and World War Two in particular give you the best examples, because debt levels really went much higher than they are now, and ultimately they were paid off. But they were slightly different times because global economies really bounced out of wars. I reported this week about how there's long-term research, I mean, way back to the 14th century, about what pandemics do. And pandemics have a real big impact on interest rates. They last for 40 years. If interest rates remain low for a long period of time, then you can get away with borrowing a large amount of money. But there's plenty of examples of countries that have succumbed to debt. Like we have lost countries that have melded into other nations because of debt levels and or being unable to pay their debts.
So, Shane, our grandchildren might be paying this off for us.
Absolutely. There's a big chance. In fact, this is one of my fun facts, and I'm not sure how much fun it is. The AOFM actually has debt on its books from 1929. Now, that was debt that the states had at the time, and they handed over to the Commonwealth government. There's only about $1 million of it left. It will never be repaid. So debt can hang around. About 4 years ago, the British government actually finally paid off its last outstanding bond from World War One. Debts can hang around like a pair of old socks. They really can.
Well, it'll give us plenty to talk about going forward. Shane, thanks for joining me again on Please Explain.
Always a pleasure, Tori.
Please Explain is taking a break over the Easter long weekend. We'll resume our daily coronavirus podcast next Tuesday. Stay safe and enjoy yourselves. Today's episode of Please Explain was produced by Anu Hasbold and Amelia Maguire. The journalists, editors, photographers, producers and tech team at The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald are working tirelessly at the moment to cover the COVID-19 crisis factually, fairly and comprehensively. For coverage you can trust, visit our websites or buy our papers. To support our journalism, you can subscribe via our homepages or just search, subscribe, the Sydney Morning Herald or The Age. I'm Tori Maguire. Thanks for listening.